Warning, do not listen to this podcast if hearing about freedom and liberty is not legal for you in your community. And if so, you should immediately move to a hipper community.
Welcome to the Freedom Fiends Podcast, a weekly web lab where Michael W. Dean and Nima Vedati cover the punk rockinist, hip-hopinist current events, as well as timeless universal truths about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, because there's no such thing as half free. The Freedom Fiends Podcast, available from freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
Freedom Fiends is proudly syndicated by Alterati.com and the Liberty Radio Network at LRN.FM.
Welcome to the Vaporsmith's Freedom Hour with Freedom Fiends, Michael W. Dean.
Broadcasting from my windowless bunker.
And Nima Vedati.
Go, go, Freedom Fiends!
Roland, it's the Fiends. What'd it do, Michael?
Yo, I don't know. Some website just tried to play some music at me. I hate when the web sings at me, man.
I hate that. Yeah, I thought people stopped doing that. I remember that like 10 years ago or 5 years ago, and you click on a website and it starts playing some gay song that the website designer likes.
A lot of news sites do that. You know,
well, like, on the news sites, is it just like they're a flash player that's playing like their latest news clip, like breaking?
Yeah.
That kind of stuff.
Yeah. No, yeah,
I hate
like
that
ads,
too.
Ads.
Ooh, that's even worse.
Yeah.
That's even worse. Although, I guess the thing with ads is, it's kind of a bitter pill to swallow, but I understand, because that's
you're
how they
provide the content.
You're an
anarcho-capitalist. You can't criticize ads.
No, I can't criticize them at all, especially when you're providing me the content for free, and the only way you can afford to pay people to produce the content is by selling ads.
So we're doing our podcast today the old way, because you're on like some desert island in Austin and don't have all your equipment yet, so we're using the phone instead of the Skype to talk to each other. We're doing the double
phone
enter still
to the Skype. Yep.
And then you're gonna have to go sit at a public pool and upload it because you don't have internet yet.
Yeah, although I might try to sit inside because it's been raining like cats and dogs since I've been in Austin. Like downpour, flash floods, like I get out of the car and I'm ankle deep in water kind of rain.
Yep. So we may have some of that weird like echo we used to have that we fought so hard to get rid of. But this is a temporary thing. Nima's getting his world back together in Austin. How's that going?
It's going pretty good. I'm sitting in my converted office. I have a huge closet, and so I'm converting it into my office / windowless bunker podcasting center, and also, I guess, music recording studio. So it's going well. I put up some old army sleeping cots as soundproofing, and I guess I'll put up
Statist.
Some soundproofing later.
No, man.
Is it status to shop at the Army Surplus Store?
No, man.
I kind of like that place.
No. And, you know, it's. I mean, all the anti-war hippies wore army jackets in the 60s, so it doesn't mean you're condoning it.
I guess the thing is, everything should be free at Army Surplus Store since we paid for them in the first place, right?
Because
my tax dollars
paid
for that cot. Yeah. I already paid for that cot. Why'd I have to pay twice?
So, speaking of which, there's two possible titles for this. Tell me which one you like better.
All right.
One that I came up with, which is choosing your nationality should be as easy as choosing your phone company.
I kind of like that.
Or, but without the government, who would drone the children?
I'm going to have to go with the latter.
Okay. Randall Perry.
Also, because I've been shopping around for internet lately, and phone companies and internet companies, it's not that easy to choose them.
I know.
Especially. I'm in Austin. I figured I'd come here and there'd be like a million things, a smorgasbord of companies to choose from. But
well,
in
what
my apartment
should we use
complex, the only
for that. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I was expecting to have a whole menu of different providers to choose from, but really it's just Time Warner where I'm at.
Well, if we want to use the analogy, first of all, I want to ask you if you got a ground protector, a ground checker.
I did, yeah. I went to Radio Shack and they did not, I guess first you should explain to the folks why you told me to get a ground checker.
Yeah, Nima was like, yeah, my new place is great. It's got this little like closet with a sliding glass door, and I made it into a studio. And it didn't have electricity, though, and I didn't want to run a power strip in there because I want to be able to shut the door. So I dug in the ceiling and found the unused ground wire in the light fixture and hooked it up. And I'm like, you know, just because there's a third wire there doesn't mean that that's connected to anything. And you can die.
Yeah.
People die from ungrounded. You know, if you have your, if you touch your microphone with your lips and then you're touching a metal mixer or anything, you know, you could die.
And of course, you had the requisite horror story to tell me about some guy you knew in a band that plugged into the wall that wasn't grounded.
Well, I didn't know him. It was the my band Bomb, the guitar player Jay Crawford was in a band before Bomb called Housecoat Project, and they were playing at the Mabuhay Gardens. I wasn't there. It was right before I moved to San Francisco. He was, I don't know the story. It was either like the wiring was faulty in the club, or I heard a rumor that it was that he like broke the third plug off his three-prong adapter on his guitar, on three-prong plug on his guitar amp to stop it from humming. You know, which was because it was bad ground. So it was badly grounded building, which is not that uncommon, combined with him removing the ground on his guitar amp. And, you know, first song, he stepped up to the mic, he's playing guitar, puts his mouth on the mic, starts singing, and got electrocuted, you know, knocked backwards into the drum kit. Everyone thought it was part of the show and applauded, and he died.
Shit. Or snizzle.
Oh, we're trying to not curse.
Yeah, what do we say instead of the S word?
Scheiße.
Sheesh.
Or Scheiße. We could use German, you know, Fick. Although, you know, if WQUK in Ohio reaches any
Germans?
Any Amish, because, you know, the Amish speak German. If they're listening on their wireless radio sets, their cat whisker sets that they made out of some gelinium crystal.
Yeah, I don't think we should be worried about the Amish listening to our radio broadcasts.
Well, you know, Quakers are Amish, right? I'm kidding. Okay. Man, Bad Quaker's been going off on the past two casts, like ranting and like railing and screeching and like against Mark Stevens in my defense. I'm pretty honored and touched.
Wow. Yeah, I haven't heard him. I did get a chance to finally upload or download all of the podcasts I've been missing. I just haven't got a chance to listen to him yet. But yeah, I guess back to the ground thing. You had told me that story about the guy who electrocuted himself with his microphone, and I guess it did kind of inspire me to go get what you call a ground tester. So I went to Radio Shack to see if I could get one.
How much was it? Where'd you get it? How much was it?
They didn't have it at Radio Shack. They scratched their heads and walked around. And Radio Shack's not really like it used to be.
It's
like,
really pathetic. Radio Shack used to be – it's called Radio Shack because a Radio Shack was like the outbuilding that a ham radio operator would have his – you know, like in his garden shed, he converted to a Radio Shack. Radio Shack, when I was a kid, was a hobbyist store. You could buy – I built my first radio transmitter with parts I bought at a Radio Shack. Now all they sell is chromed robot turds. They don't have anything for hobbyists, man. You walk in and it's like, hi, I need a 64-ohm resistor. And they're like, eh?
Yeah.
Oh, you mean a Razor cell phone? They're right here, and we have a new plan. And they're like talking to you like used car salesman really fast.
Yeah.
I hate Radio Shack.
I asked for a ground tester, and the guy kind of knew what I was saying, but he was like, we have this multimeter thing. And I'm like, no, I don't need that. It plugs in, and it'll let me know if I'm going to get electrocuted or not. And he's like, the only ground I know is in baseball. And I'm like,
really? He tried to sell you a voltometer for like $50, huh?
Yep, he sure did. So then he got one of the other clerks, and she kind of knew a little bit more. She knew exactly what I was looking for, but she like scratched her head and searched for it and was like, I guess we don't sell them. And I was like,
she knew exactly that they didn't have them, too. Yeah.
I don't know. She dug around for a little bit. So I went to the Home Depot across the way. And
that's where I told you to go. I told you to go to a hardware store.
No, you told me to go to Radio Shack, man.
Well, that was like me remembering back when things were good.
Back when Radio Shack actually had stuff like that.
Yeah. But yeah. I also said if they don't have one, go to a hardware store.
Yep. So then there was a Home Depot in the same parking lot, and I went there and found myself a little ground tester. It was $5 or $4.97 or something like that. So cheaper than you remember buying it. Bought it and went home to test the ground, and it was perfect. I tested both the plug-in that I made, like with the ground adapter, and then I plugged in my my little squid, which is kind of like a surge protector, but it has squid arms instead of it all being in one straight line. And the ground was fine on that too.
Now that you have it, you should bring it with you to people's houses, to parties and stuff, and be the like nanny electricity inspector. I mean, really, it wouldn't hurt, you know? You might save someone's life.
Yeah. Well, it wouldn't be nanny. I'd be like, hey, you can die or you can not die. It's your choice. Yeah.
You wouldn't be like this video I saw today of some code enforcement officer going into a woman's house without permission because her lawn was too long. She woke up and the guy was in her bedroom handing her a summons or a, you know, fix-it ticket for her lawn being too long.
What?
I'd shoot the guy, man.
I would too. I woke up
and there was some beefy dude standing in, you know, he looked like Hank Schrader. I mean, some big, beefy, bald guy.
Yeah.
If I woke up and that guy was standing in my bedroom, I would shoot him multiple times.
Where the hell does he get off doing that? Actually, that's breaking and entering, brother. I mean, what the hell?
He's on administrative leave. He got a paid vacation.
Oh, paid vacation. See, maybe he just wanted his paid vacation. He's like, it's summertime. Maybe. Might as well get off of work.
I'll go watch some lady sleep and get in trouble.
Well, do code enforcement officers carry guns?
I would assume, I mean, you know, I think that the trend is for everyone, bureaucrat in the government to carry a Glock 40 and for them to try to take ours away. But
man, that's disgusting. So the video you saw, was that was it produced by the local news station, wherever that was at?
Yeah. And the news station was not happy about the guy doing this.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, how did they have the other side? Did they have the government goon guy or a spokesman trying to defend it, or were they just like, they're no comment?
I think he declined to go on camera.
Yeah, of course he did.
Which generally means, you know, with a citizen, it means I'm probably innocent. With a government official, I assume it means I'm probably guilty.
There you go.
So back to the titles of this cast.
Ah, yeah, back to that. Back to 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, I really like, but without the government, who would drone the children?
I think it's perfect. I mean, it shows, you know, when people say, well, what would we do without a government? Well, we'd have a lot less innocent children murdered. How's that?
Yeah, and that was something that Randall Perry, I took it from something Randall Perry said. Randall Perry said, you know, without the government, who would take care of the roads? Who would drone the children? And I just shortened it and made it snappier. The other thing that we're not going to use, I do want to talk about, though, choosing your nationality should be as easy as choosing your phone company. First of all, before we get into a conversation of that, what should I say instead of phone company as someone who recently did that? What's easy to choose in the consumer market? Your breakfast cereal?
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends podcast. Freedom Fiends is now available for 24/7 streaming to your iPhone, Android phone, or other chromed robot turd. Click on the streaming audio link on freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
I would like to say something that's a little bit difficult, but not hard. Like, they could be done in an hour, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. I guess phone company would work if you made it cell phone company. There's plenty of those.
Yeah.
I guess that works. And that's a good example. I mean, the way cell phone technology has advanced in the past decade is just unreal. So I think that's a good example. I can co-sign that. I'm so just bitter because I've been trying to get home internet and it's been not as easy as I thought it would be.
But try to change your nationality and you'll be like, boy, that sure was easy to get my internet. And, you know, I posted this on Facebook and, of course, a bunch of people said, well, not several people said, well, I shouldn't have to choose a state. We should repeal the 14th Amendment and then I can write my name in all capital letters. And I'm like, shut up. Just shut up, okay?
You can write your name in all capital letters now. How's that?
Because I'm talking about reality, and this isn't, well, I'm a minarchist because I live in the real world. I'm no longer a minarchist. I'm an anarchist. But the simple fact is we may be headed towards a time where you really will want to change your nationality, and some other country is going to look like LibPair compared to America.
Mm-hmm.
So you may want to. I interviewed this guy yesterday, Bill Bupert.
Is it Bupert or Bupert?
It's actually French, and I can't pronounce it. Bupin. He's American, but it's a French name. He's told me two ways to pronounce it. I believe it's Bupert.
Okay. Yeah, I've read his name before, but I've never heard it pronounced.
He's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's the second person that's contacted me to interview me. I used to have a rule of if anyone wants to be interviewed, I don't interview them, you know, but I've broken that rule twice now. And it's been like two of my best interviews. That guy's an officer in the army, and now he's an anarchist. And wow. He knows a lot about history and a lot about the world. And
so did he become an anarchist and then decide to leave the army, or did he like wait for his retirement to hit, or was this after? Was this a revelation after he was gone?
I don't really know. I think it was after he was retired. He actually still does some consulting work for the army, which but he knows a lot about world history and a lot about the way the military works and the way the United States government works, and is not a statist. And he and his wife are looking like, which country are we going to move to in a couple of years? Like, they're saving up money to do this and researching it.
Wow. Did they have any on a short list or a long list? I'm curious, because I have no idea where I would go.
Yeah, it's a few in South America, a few in Europe, and a few in Southeast Asia. And he's a gun guy, and this is so important to him to do that he's not necessarily going to pick a place that's gun-friendly. It's, like, that important to him, and he's more of a gun guy than we are.
Wow.
So that really kind of woke me up. I mean, I'm not planning on doing it tomorrow.
I guess you
or
could,
anything.
In a place like that, couldn't you always just bribe some officials to let your gun slide? Or I mean, I don't know.
Maybe, probably. You could also, in some places, you could carry a knife but not a gun. And at short range, you have to get skilled with a knife. It takes more practice than with a gun. At short range, you know, like room size range, a person who's very experienced with a knife is more deadly than a person who's okay with a gun.
Mm. I guess I could see that, yeah.
Including the fact that people who are really good with knives are usually really good at taking something out of someone else's hand and keeping someone from taking something out of their hand.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't know. Guns are just so awesome. Maybe I'll feel that way after I've had guns for years and years and years. I'm kind of like, guns. But I don't know. I'm still new. I guess new-ish. It's been a couple years. So I don't want to get rid of my guns, man. I keep them all by the side of my bed now that I moved. I've got all my guns just right
you
next to me at all times.
You sleep with them and pet them?
I do. I was petting one the other night, and my wife was like, you shouldn't play with your guns when you're tipsy. And I'm like, okay.
You probably shouldn't play with your guns with your tipsy, but you should probably go practice sometime when you're tipsy, because you should practice how you're going to be when someone kicks in your door.
Yeah, and I mean, very often so at night I have a couple beers, and so yeah.
So kids, Michael Dean says, get drunk and shoot guns. That's not really what I'm saying, but...
No, but I mean, that doesn't offend me at all. I don't think – I think you'd be silly to say otherwise, because, yeah, you do have to practice. Practice how you play is what they used to always tell us in high school football. So if you're ever going to be tipsy, you should have practiced a couple of times your marksmanship in that range.
Yeah, so if you're going to do the big championship game with the butt plug in, you should practice with the butt plug in. I don't like football, man. Okay.
You don't like football?
No.
I think we might have gone over this before. I love football.
Yeah. I used to get beat up by football players, though.
So. Yeah, yeah.
Hmm. You know, it's kind of hard when you're 14 to apply the logic of they're not all like this when they're beating you up.
Right, yeah. Right. But see, now you've grown and matured, but I guess you still have that bad taste in your mouth.
Yeah, and they're all losers on their third wife and 10th kid and alimony payments and alcoholism, and I won.
Okay.
Fair Not enough. All of them, but some of them are. I know some of them are. So this I saw this headline on CNN. Socialite songwriter Denise Rich renounces U.S. citizenship and moves to London or somewhere with better – not London, but somewhere with better taxes. And this is happening more and more. There is more mostly rich people getting dual citizenship or going somewhere else. Typical comment on that article, good riddance, all tax dodgers, Republican or Democrats, should have their assets forcibly seized and then deported from the country, never to return on pain of death.
What? How often do you see that kind of comment? Is that like all over these kinds of things? I mean, that's insane.
Well, you know, they're half and half. This is going to happen more and more as soon as if the United States keeps raising the tax rate and screwing people and blah, blah, blah. And then half of them are like, if you don't love America, get out, and we're going to take everything.
Well, you know, I guess I would imagine those must be the tax eaters, right? They feel entitled to those people's money in some way.
Anthony Szabo said of that, you know, if you don't love America, get out, or that tax dodger thing. He said most of the rednecks would still say that even in shackles.
Yeah. I wouldn't doubt it.
And someone else said exit tax. Isn't that because this was in an article that was talking about the new amusingly named Expatriate Act. Yeah. Yeah. Which was, you know,
Chuck Schumer, right?
He's a right. Chuck, our buddy ass. Chuck Schumer.
Yeah.
Your friend and mine. When the Schumer hits the fan and people start leaving, Schumer tries to raise the exit tax. And somebody said, exit tax, isn't that like the leaving town fee on the film crew in The Simpsons when they come to Springfield to make Radioactive Man the movie? You know, when they're totally broke and they're leaving, the mayor says, I impose a $500,000 leaving town tax.
Yes. That's exactly what it is. I don't know. The thing about Schumer's whole idea here, though, is won't that make the people that are kind of leaning towards getting the hell out, won't that make them just leave faster? I mean, and usually the way bills work is it takes a while to get them passed, and then after they're passed, it takes them a while to go into effect.
There's some sort of retroactive thing on this, but it's also it imposes really steep taxes on any assets you still have in America. Like if you own an apartment building here and you move to another country, they're going to like take most of that apartment building.
Man. Yeah.
Kyle Bennett had a great response. He said, love it or leave it. Okay. Damn, the bitch is leaving. Make her stay.
It's that whole abusive spouse thing that you said like a year ago, pretty much. But yeah, I mean, I totally see this as increasing. I mean, the government trying to steal people's stuff more and more, getting what they can grab while they still can.
We ain't want none of our slaves leaving the plantation.
Pretty much, yeah. Work them to death because they might be emancipated soon kind of thing.
Yeah.
But all over 6th Street, or I walked down 6th Street the other day, and there were like two separate locations that had been seized by the city recently, like taken Holy for crap. Lack of paying taxes.
Wow.
Two bars that people go. I mean, that 6th Street is like one of the things that Austin uses to sell itself, you know, to college students coming in. Hey,
I played on 6th Street.
I used to have a regular show there at the Bayou for a couple of months.
The bar that's owned by the Butthole Surfers. What's it called? Or partly owned by the Butthole Surfers?
I don't know, man. There's so many bars there. None of them has a sign that says owned by the Butthole Surfers, unfortunately. Because I would go there if I saw that sign. You can look it up. I don't have any internet access right now.
I know. Talk about that.
Well, I want to talk about...
Oh, it's Emos, man. Emos.
Emos. Okay.
I played Emos.
Emos is a legend. Yeah.
What's that? Emo's what? Is it still there?
It's legendary. Yeah.
Yeah, I played there. All right.
Hi, I'm Nima Vedotti from the Freedom Fiends podcast, and I'm excited about Vaporsmith's electronic cigarettes. I dig the taste, and I dig the freedom to vape anywhere the nanny staters would wet their pants if I smoked.
Vaporsmiths.com is run by a liberty-loving entrepreneur, not some subsidized tax-eater conglomerate.
I'm Michael Dean of the Freedom Fiends, and I love Vaporsmiths. I smoked 3 packs of tobacco cigarettes a day for decades, but now I'm only using Vaporsmiths. I love the flavors, I don't smell like smoke, and I save money, so I have more to spend on ammo and treats for my kitties.
Available in 4 strengths and 10 delicious flavors. Reds, Classics, Turkish, Menthol, Strawberry, Cherry, Vanilla, Coffee, Minty Mint, and Cloves. Go to Vaporsmiths.com. Use coupon code FREEDOMFIEND to get 25% off your order. This is a limited time offer. Vaporsmiths at Vaporsmiths.com. Check out the Anarchy Gumbo Podcast. Michael W. Dean of the Freedom Fiends cooks up a very special blend of liberty, guns, sex, rock and roll, drugs, and thriving in spite of the state in an increasingly worrying world. All with a rotating cast of nifty guests who are also up in the middle of the night. The Anarchy Gumbo Podcast, a tasty stew of freedom and fun. Subscribe at kittyfeet.com. That's KittyFeet.com.
So yeah, Deenan. Man. Emos.
Emos, yeah, let's see. I saw Devin the Dude play there. Actually, at Emos Junior. They have like a little side Emos.
Well, I played a place that's sort of outdoors, indoors, like a patio.
Yeah, that was that might have been Emos Junior. They have like two stages, and one's
this
called
place
Emos
held
Junior.
Like, I don't know, 200 people, and they had like 350 in there. It was great, great show.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. How long ago was that?
Probably 1991.
Okay. Yeah. Last time I was at Emos was Devin the Dude, and before that I'd been there, I think, for a couple of shows at South by Southwest. I think I saw a band called Minus the Bear and Go-Go Bordello, I think, I saw there.
They're a really cool, weird, gypsy, sexy, dirty, filthy, hippie gypsy band.
Yeah, I was pretty wasted, so I don't really remember too much of it, but I'm sure it was fun. I'm sure it was great.
Yep. So Fuzzy loves me now.
Fuzzy loves me?
Yeah, Fuzzy the cat. He used to like love my wife, and he still loves her, but kind of was weird about me. Didn't like me. And
I thought Fuzzy didn't like anybody.
Well, yeah, Fuzzy didn't like anybody. Fuzzy loves me now because we took him for his haircut the other day. And, you know, we take him to the vet. They drug him. He doesn't like it at all. He doesn't. And I went and picked him up. And I think he feels like I'm the person who saved him from that horrible place with all those animals and people and people poking him and shaving him.
You liberated him.
Yeah. Although he doesn't remember that like 6 hours earlier, I'm the guy that brought him there too. He just remembers that I saved him from there. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yukon's been extra loverly lately as well. He's been like laying in bed with us, sleeping on our bed, which is unheard of. I don't know if he's just thankful that we're finally done with our giant long road trip.
Was he with you on the road trip?
Happy to be home. Sort of. We drove him with us, but when we were at Lake Powell, we boarded him for a couple of days. So he was at, you know, a boarding center, a pet hotel, so to speak. And then we also boarded him for a week at Grand Canyon. And we didn't stay at Grand Canyon a week, but Grand Canyon was sort of our central location. So we boarded him there. We hiked the Grand Canyon. Then we went to Vegas. And then we went to Petrified Forest and then came back and picked him up.
Nice.
So he was boarded for about a week and a half total, but the rest of the time, like that whole last leg, he was just sleeping in the car with us. So it was me, my wife, and Yukon all sleeping in a tiny Hyundai Elantra for a week. So I think he's happy to finally have a bed again.
Yep. So you want to hear an old person's response, an old anarcho-capitalist's response to
an OG?
No, just an old person.
An OA? Okay.
An old idiot. Somebody posted on Reddit something about Freedom Fiends, and someone said, someone named Farsalus, Farsalus, said, Farsalus. I'm probably being enormously ignorant here, but it seems cult-like at first glance. I'm always wary of any group that creates a new word to self-identify with.
Idiots never listen to a damn hip-hop song.
I know.
I mean,
I know.
Fiend. I was listening to like rap songs the whole way over here, and there's like literally the word fiend is in like every hip-hop
song. Fiend is
song
more common
rapped.
Than the other F-word in hip-hop.
Pretty much. Yeah.
This guy's old, man.
Because it just rhymes with so many things.
Yeah.
And it's so rich with meaning. It means you really want something.
Yeah.
But it could also mean the person you're making money off of because, you know, you slang them rocks to them fiends and shit. Damn it. It snizzle.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'm gonna have trouble with the not cussing thing now.
Yeah.
I just got so used to it. I was good at first, you know, because like being on TV and stuff, you know.
Then you quit your job and now you can cuss.
Yeah. Then I said F you status and quit my job, and I've been at potty mouth ever since.
Yeah. So yeah. So I really think, getting back to this other thing, I really think that choosing your nationality should be like choosing your phone company.
Yeah, I wish, but as we've seen with Schumer and the Expatriate Act and just dealing with bureaucracy in general. I mean, it's not that easy to change the state that you live in, as I experience every year or so whenever I move. You got to get a new license. You got to go wait in the DMV or the DPS or whatever your state has.
It's pretty easy compared to leaving your national, you know, becoming a citizen of another country and leaving the citizenship of this country.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm sure immigration is orders of magnitude more difficult, but still, what I'm trying to say is even basic things when you deal with government bureaucracies can be a pain in the ass.
Panama is basically inviting wealthy people to expat to there.
Oh, really?
And they've made it easier recently. Yeah.
Yep. That's good. What kind of it are they offering, like, you don't have to pay any taxes for 3 years kind of thing, or what?
They're just making the whole process easier and making it tax-friendly. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think that that's inevitably what's going to happen is other places are going to make themselves more attractive to moneyed interests. And, I mean, there's really no reason for people with a lot of money to stay here when they can go elsewhere and pay much lower taxes and deal with much less hassle. I mean, this is not a business-friendly country to live in my experience and from what I've seen.
It's,
maybe it used to be. I don't know. I'm young, so.
It's pretty much the only country that charges taxes on U.S. citizens who are working abroad. Like, if you go, you know, get a job for, you know, some firm in the UK and you're working there, you're paying UK taxes. You also have to pay taxes in the United States. We're like the only country that does that.
Yeah. I mean, I see that question every time I fill out my taxes and I'm just like, how ridiculous is that? And how do they justify that in their pea-sized status brains? I mean, okay. So I guess I can logically see the argument if you buy into the whole social contract. Yes. That you provide the roads, you provide all these things, you keep the peace. I mean, I don't really believe that they do those things. I guess they build the roads.
The ironic thing to me is that the same people that often think that we should, that the United States should tax people who were like, you know, I mean, right now the IRS is taxing people who were born here, lived here a couple of years as babies, and then have lived in another country and had citizenship there their whole life. They're taxing them suddenly, and
these are people that did not even grow up going to American public schools, so you can't even make that argument.
And these are, and the people that are in favor of that here are often the same people that are in favor of outlawing the concept of anchor babies. Like you're not a citizen just because you're born here, unless you move somewhere else and then make a lot of money. You know, then you're a citizen, and we want your money.
Well, I mean, that doesn't surprise me at all. I mean, American exceptionalism, right?
Yeah.
the height of hypocrisy is here in the United States, is here in Washington, D.C. I mean, I guess I want to separate those folks from, you know, good people who live in this country.
I still say us and we accidentally when I'm talking about the states or the government.
It's kind of hard not to. Yeah. like Ben Stone says, even hardcore anarchists every now and then have to check themselves for their brainwashing and go back and remind themselves of these kinds of things.
Yep. And I had more to say on that. The whole thing irks me. You know, interestingly, there's a lot. Most of what the UN believes, I'm against. But some of what the UN believes, I believe, but it's usually a stop clock is right kind of thing. And it's like they believe it for vastly different reasons than I believe it. The Universal Charter of Human Rights or whatever from the UN says that everyone has the right to change their nationality. And
yeah.
I agree with that too, but I agree with that because I think people should be able to opt for less government. The UN believes it because they pretty much think all countries are interchangeable and they just want everyone to have a UN passport that supersedes all national passports.
Yeah, I mean, if there was an option that said no country or unavailable, not applicable or something like that, I'd go for that.
Well, when I posted a thread about this on Facebook, I got some neener, neener, neener comments from a couple armchair newly minted anarchists who were like, well, we shouldn't have to choose a nationality at all. And I'm like, shut up, child. You know, basically, I'm talking about like, what can we do in the next 3 to 5 years if the Schumer hits the fan here? to get out. You know, you won't have time to call your government and convince them, I don't want to have a government. The fact of the matter is, there's no country in the world that will take you on a permanent basis if you don't have a citizenship of some country. The UN actually has a loophole for this of people who are stateless. They issue them a temporary kind of UN thing and then try to get them citizenship in some country. That's something the UN does.
I guess a good example of what you're trying to avoid is for longtime listeners, you'll remember that movie Heavy Metal in Baghdad. And in that movie, some of the folks who were in the heavy metal band in Baghdad left and went to Syria. And they were worried at some points they were going to have to go back to Iraq because they couldn't get status in Syria.
Yeah, they were.
They were like, where the hell am I? I'm going to go back to a war zone where everybody's being incinerated on a daily basis.
Yeah, it's like instead they wanted to stay. Where were they? Where'd they go?
Syria is where they went first. And luckily, eventually, they got to Turkey, and then because of the folks with was it Vibe magazine who did the thing?
It was Vice.
I was close. Yeah, because of those folks, they ended up, the band went to America, and now they're here. So
yeah, and I'll bet that Vice had to talk to some consulate people and some UN people and some lawyers. I know they got lawyers for them. And, you know, had to go through some regular channels and pull some strings and get some favors and probably bribe some people. Or not bribe some people, but pay, you know. Anyway, I mean, it was basically those guys were using what they could of the free market to just go one country over that was less of a war zone. Although Syria is going to be a war zone here in a minute when America invades it, right?
I don't know, man. I've been off the grid for like a month and I've been hearing things, but why don't you enlighten me? What's been going on? What is the news? What is TV saying about Syria? Maybe we can use that to triangulate what's going to actually happen.
That's off the topic, and you know, anybody can search on Google and find out what people are saying about that. Basically, like high-level military, you know, ex-military people are saying that's going to happen. You know, people that are like that know how the whole system works and aren't involved in it right now, but know it. That's where it's headed. But
I know they certainly want to, but I kind of feel like, I mean, Russia's been supplying arms to the Assad regime, right? I mean, it seems like biting off a lot more than we really want to chew, but I know Hillary's been chomping at the bit at least.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends podcast. Freedom Fiends is now available for 24/7 streaming to your iPhone, Android phone, or other chromed robot turd. Click on the streaming audio link on freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
I think the United States wants to be in a global drone war with a few boots on the ground. And right now, they need more boots on the ground than drones because the drones haven't totally caught up yet. But pretty soon, I mean, I don't know if I said it on here before, but I believe that the drones are the culmination and actuality and realization of Reagan's Star Wars initiative, you know, SDI, Strategic Defense Initiative idea. That was supposed to be satellites. And he kind of rolled it out as vaporware. I mean, like GE, Ben said when he was working at GE, they were like making, you know, this is before PowerPoint, they were making slideshows of like the advances they were making in doing that when they were nowhere near it. It was vaporware. Yeah. You know, they couldn't do it. He wanted to have a, you know.
But where's the term vaporware come from? You mean like smoke and mirrors?
Yeah. Vaporware is a term for software or hardware that is like announced but never comes out.
Ah, okay.
It's a common term. You know, but Reagan wanted a constellation of satellites that could shoot a laser and blow anything out of the sky. It was basically supposed to be self-defense only, of course, yeah. And, you know, like basically an invisible shield protecting the United States from missiles. It wasn't possible, and it's still pretty much not possible, but drones, it's possible. You know, they can't do it with satellites, but they can do it with high-flying drones if they have enough of them. And it's not lasers.
Use
it's
drones
be-
as missile defense or use drones to shoot anything that they want in the world?
They say for defense, but it always ends up being used offensively. You know, I mean, what's going to happen when some high-level, really rich U.S. citizen somehow renounces his citizenship and gets out of the country with, you know, a bunker full of gold that he gets out and doesn't pay taxes on? They're probably going to try to drone him if he's in a country where they won't bring him in.
Yeah. Yeah. I really hope not, but again, something like that wouldn't necessarily, it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, they've already set the precedent for droning American citizens.
Yeah.
They've already said it. So those people who would say, oh, that's crazy, they would never drone an American, well, they did.
Yeah.
They did it a couple months ago. And not only the American, but his 16-year-old son, who had nothing to do with him.
There's actually a really good video that I'm going to link in this that you can't see yet because you don't have the internet yet. But it's from
send me a fax with a description. I'll
send you a fax with screenshots. Yeah, it's supposed to be from the U.S. Bureau of Terrifying Technology. It's on Funny or Die, and it's a like joke 50s style black and white educational film like they'd show in school on drones.
Uh-huh.
And it's nice. Christopher McDonald. Do you know who he is?
Is he the guy that was in the third Batman? That was
no, that's
Robin?
Chris O'Donnell, I think. This is Christopher McDonald. He was in Happy Gilmore. He played the championship golf stud older guy that like Happy was up against.
Shooter McGavin.
Yeah. And
I eat pieces of shit like you for breakfast.
Yeah. Yeah. And okay. My favorite thing of him is he's in Requiem for a Dream. You know, the mother is always watching that game show, that motivational show. And she thinks.
Yeah.
She's,
yeah. He's Tappy.
He's Tappy Tibbins.
We have a winner.
Yes. We have a winner. Yeah. He did this and it's him starring in it. And it's him in a lab coat being a scientist like, hi, kids, you shouldn't be afraid of drones. They can help you. And then like, you know, he says, but just take these following precautions. If you're going to get married, don't do it anywhere near Afghanistan. Nice. And then like the little toe-headed boy comes up to him and says, but Dr. So-and-so, aren't they dangerous to our privacy? And he's like tousles his hair and says, run along, Billy. I'll turn you into the authorities later. I will link that.
You will be droned. Oh, yes.
It's funny. You don't have the internet. It's kind of like... Yeah, I need to send you faxes of screenshots of things. So,
yeah, I'm not used to it. I mean, I know it's kind of cliche, but you go without the internet for a month.
I
weird,
won't,
man.
I couldn't really do it. I couldn't do it, man. I've gone like three. Like when we moved into this house, I had internet in the hotels on the way here where we stayed when we drove out here. Oh, by the way, this past Saturday was 3 years a DJ and I in Wyoming.
Oh
yeah,
it was your Y-oversary.
Yeah, my Y-oversary, our Y-oversary. Yeah, but like we got here, and you know, like you, we didn't have internet. They couldn't come for 4 or 5 days and hook it up. And I got in a car and went down to like a coffee shop and you know paid money and went down to that what's that weird cafe downtown, hipster one.
You went to an internet cafe? Those still exist?
And it was in Wyoming. And it was like, you couldn't even bring your own laptop and hook it up. They didn't have Wi-Fi. Like, you paid money, and you had to use, like, they had, like, old, those Apple, like, cherry-colored ones that are kind of, like, curvy iMacs.
Uh-huh.
Had,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I'd, like, pay to use those. iMacs. I could barely do anything. I didn't have all my passwords with me. You know, I had my laptop next to me. Open so I could see my passwords and then type them in on this public computer is horrible.
Yeah. I've gotten little spurts of internet here and there at like at a hotel, but in the lobby because it was a hotel in Vegas. And in Vegas, apparently it's standard practice to charge you upwards of $12.99 for internet in your room. So that was a bummer. But I did get a few minutes in the lobby.
And you think that there's a non-free market reason for that. So you can't – what was it? Can't check competing hotel rates.
I'm pretty sure that's it, but you know, again, maybe it's like I bet there are hotels that do offer free Wi-Fi, but maybe they're the senior motels that do it to sort of bring more customers in. I don't
maybe
know.
Maybe it's so you couldn't online gamble.
maybe. But I mean, online gambling, it doesn't really exist as it used to in this country. My father-in-law, he used to be a big...
Yeah, we've heard this 50,000 times. Sorry, go ahead.
No, but there's an update.
Okay, what's the update? Go ahead.
It's a follow.
Start from the beginning. Start from the beginning.
No, I'm not going to start from the beginning because you're sick of it.
I'm not sick of it, but we have fans. We've got like 8 times as many fans as we had last month. So there's people who don't know about your father-in-law.
Yeah, well, okay, fine. He's handicapped. He has MS, so he's pretty much house-ridden. And it was like his favorite passion in the world. It's what made him get up in the morning and stay up at night was playing online poker. And he was good at it. Like, he won enough money to go on a cruise, and it was his thing. And then, of course, the Fed said no. They raided, I don't remember, there was a few companies that were like the big players, and they basically shut them down. And so it was like heartbreaking for him. I recently saw him again, and he's found a new, I don't know if it's one of the same companies, but it's like the new standard, and it is basically neutered. It's a neutered version. You can pay into this like pot, and you basically play tournaments, but the limit of what you can win is like $25, and it takes like hours and hours and hours to do it.
What about what if you used a VPN and came in
and had
a
like multiple
country?
Accounts?
Yeah. I'm not recommending breaking any laws. I'm just wondering if that would work. I mean, the point that they can always shut down, though, is you have to at some point have it transferred to a U.S. bank or U.S. PayPal or something, right?
Right. And so if you tried – even I guess if you tried to fudge that, they could probably – the prosecutor would charge you with money laundering.
They'd probably
like
charge
that.
You as a terrorist these days.
Yeah. I don't know. They tack on a bunch of trumped up charges, I'm sure, just because that's what gets their panties wet.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was just disgusted to see whenever the government gets a hold of something, and they always say it's like for our safety, it's to keep you safe from becoming addicted to gambling or whatever the case is. And then they chew it up and they spit back at you this neutered nonsense.
Yeah, it's like near beer.
That's basically what the online gambling
is. It's near beer for gambling.
Yeah, it's 3-2 beer. 3-2. But even then, yeah. I guess you could at least drink twice the amount of beer.
It's not even 3-2 beer. It's more like, yeah. It's more like
it's O'Doul's.
It's thimbles full of near beer.
Yeah, there you go.
This is the Central Scrutinizer. We're working very hard to spend your tax money to keep you from hearing things like freedomfiends.com. That's why we're very upset about freedomfiends.cz. Freedomfiends.cz is a Liberty Media archive of Freedom Fiends material hosted in the Czech Republic. FreedomFiends.cz is outside the jurisdiction of the Watchers, who employ me, the Central Scrutinizer, to keep you from hearing things that might make you think. My fellow scrutinizers and I do not want you to visit FreedomFiends.cz. Do not visit freedomfiends.cz.
Tired of the false economy? Want to carry real money in a form that people will dig getting? Don't Tread on Meme now has Freedom Fiends and Guns and Weed silver dime cards. Collect all four. Trade them with your friends. Freedom Fiends silver dime cards are also great for starting conversations with statists about liberty. Go to freedomfiends.com today and click the link at the top that says silver dime cards. That's freedomfiends.com.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Feenan.
So I just wanted to finish up on that redneck thing, but I mean the redneck thing, the expat thing, the expatriation thing, the idea of America wanting to shackle people who are trying to leave the country. It is something we're going to revisit, and it's not something I want to do tomorrow. But you know, I mean, somebody said like, what are those rednecks going to say? You know, the ones that are like, if you don't love America, get out. And then you try to get out and they're like, stop them. They're leaving. You know, what are those people going to say when their tax rate gets to 125%? You know, that's what someone said. They'll still be saying it.
When you actually have to 125% tax rate. So that would mean you have to pay to work.
Yes.
You go to work every morning and you write them a check.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Well, there's actually a thing in the U.S. tax code that Boston Tea Party pointed this out like 18 years ago in his book, Goodbye April 15th. It was something about that technically there's a thing in the tax code of the United States that allows them to raise the tax rate to 125%.
That's insane. Yeah, I can't even. That just boggles anybody's mind. Like,
well, you know, I'd say it's already there because it's really at about 50% if you combine everything and all the hidden taxes, and then you know the other 75% comes from the tyranny. But no, yeah, there are, I mean, yeah, there have been places where the tax rate's been, I mean, like, you know, Jews leaving Germany, the ones that were able to do it, their tax rate was over 125%. It was basically like, you know, give us everything you want and we're going to torment you and kill your relatives and take your gold fillings, yeah, and then maybe let you sneak out to another worse, not as worse country. But it's something I want to revisit and come back to, but I guess I'm done with it for now. Okay. You know, it's like we talk a lot about libpair. It's there is no libpair, but they may get to a point where there's countries that look like libpair compared to America. And the thing that really struck me, though, was the like newly minted or theorist anarchists who were like, no, this is when I said you should be able to choose your country, like your nationality, like you choose your phone company. They're like, no, we shouldn't have to choose anything at all. And then like went into this sovereign citizen crap. And I'm like, come on, man. I'm talking about reality here. I'm talking about like protecting your assets and your family and your life and your rights in this lifetime, in this decade, you know?
Yeah. Here's what I wonder. Do you think Boston Tea Party would still say that America is the healthiest patient in the cancer ward?
You know, I'm going to ask him that if I were to interview him. I asked Bill Buppert that. You know, I said 15 years ago, Boston said America is the healthiest patient in the cancer ward. Do you think we still are? And he said no. And he started naming countries. You'll have to listen to the interview. It comes out on July 28th.
Yeah, I will.
On Anarchy Gumbo. Awesome. You and you, the audience, too. We got some good stuff coming up, man. Some good stuff coming up. Don't miss July 21st, Anarchy Gumbo. There is an awesome one. It is from someone who is expatriated, but it's called the name of that episode is F.U. F.U. Stacy Litz. It's from someone who was in a similar situation and didn't do what she did. I'll just leave it at that.
Okay, but you're keeping the name of the person under wraps for now?
For now.
Or is the whole thing anonymous?
No, it's not anonymous. It's somebody a lot of our listeners are probably friends with on Facebook, but it's kind of just coming out. Okay. It was recorded like 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
And it's not.
Okay.
It's coming out a month after it posted. So he's going to be somewhere far away when it comes out.
He wants to make sure he's the F out of here, huh?
Well, he's the F out of here now. He was in Central America when we recorded it. I don't know where he is now. I have no idea. No way of knowing.
Okay.
And he's one of those people that uses like, you know, multiple VPNs and, you know, encryption and routes things through multiple servers. And it's like, you know, the government wouldn't even be able to tell where he's from if they were talking to him. Where he is.
Yeah.
They'd have to use like background noises and say, that seagull only exists in Barcelona, Spain. And the 415 to Montrose is coming through. Yes, we know where he is, you know.
If they were that smart.
Well, they are in movies, but you know, they were in movies in the 60s doing that stuff too, but with reel-to-reel tape recorders. Like, can you isolate that background? And the guy like flip some switches on some analog gear and all of a sudden like you have crystal clear just the background. Yeah, it don't work that way.
Yeah, it's like right. Yeah. That's BS. Yeah.
It's sort of possible now with software, but not really like that even. But it was not possible.
It's not going to be crystal clear. You'll have all sorts of artifacting all over the place.
Yeah. So moving right along, I have an update. I love the internet, man. So I love the internet you don't have. So I got an update now that Georgia Columbia County code enforcement officer who went into the woman's bedroom to give her a citation on her lawn being too tall, he will not be facing charges.
What?
That's what it says. But
he won't be facing breaking and entering or shoot. I mean, that's a peeping Tom, isn't it?
Yeah.
Looking at somebody while they're in their bed. If it were a private citizen, there'd be all sorts of charges.
And this guy got fired from the sheriff's office previously for stealing a computer.
Wow. Yeah. Grade A winner there. So he's not facing charges. Does he have his job still?
I like this.
Does he mention
I like
that
this
at all?
Comment from Claire Schwan. Some folks are brought up and some folks are dragged up. That sounds like a southernism. Yeah. I like it.
Yeah. I dig it.
Yeah.
Huh.
I don't know. It's a video. Disgusting, I don't want to watch a video right now. I hate that everything, I love video, but I hate that everything's video and doesn't have a good summary a lot of times, like news channels. You know, you have to go to it, you have to watch a 30-second ad, you can't click through, and then you have to listen to the news report, and there's no real summary often.
Yeah. It's a real bummer if you're at your office job poking around on the internet, too. It's like, I can't watch that video. Give me something to read.
Yeah. Another complaint I have about a lot of websites, but particularly news sites, is they don't say on them, they should say on every page what city and state they're in. You know, like they say, like, you know, Westfield's best news source. And I'm like, Westfield where, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe they keep it vague so you'll go through their site and they can pad their stats and say, hey, look at how many page views we got. And this person stayed and clicked around for a little bit, too.
Yeah, that's possible. You.
Yeah.
Horrible people.
Ew.
So emos, man. I got wasted and had sex with a hot chick from New Orleans.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. Did you ever play New Orleans?
You know, we got canceled in New Orleans like four times. But we played a backyard barbecue in New Orleans and the police showed up.
The police showed up? Yeah. Did they kick you out?
No, I think they asked us to turn down and then they stayed and had some beer and burgers and left. They nice, taxed us. Nice. They taxed us. No, they were pleasant as cops
go. They made sure they got theirs.
Yeah. Yeah, I was dating this girl named Rachel. God, whatever happened to Rachel? Rachel. Wait, I'm married. I'm sorry. Oh, yeah, just, you know, I mean, a lot of women I slept with, I was friends with too. You know, I had friendships with them. So,
yeah. You can justify it however you want, Mike.
Anyway, so what are we talking about? Wyoming Barbies. Yeah, that's what we're talking about. I got some movie recommendations.
Barbies.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Since you're not on the internet, you can just nod approvingly on these or whatever. There's a movie called...
I'll be your yes man.
There's a movie on... It's on Hulu, among other places. It's called Special. It's a really good independent film with Michael Rapaport. Do you know Michael Rapaport? Blonde.
The name is
blonde, kind of geeky... kind of jock guy.
What else was he in?
You're gonna make me look it up. All right. In this movie, he's a meter reader who hates his life and is really into comic books. And let's see. He's in Boston Public, Prison Break, Friends, The War at Home, Money for Nothing, China Beach, Kiss of Death, Basketball Diaries.
Okay.
He's a supporting actor in everything, but he's the star in this, and I think he wrote it and directed it. So he's really depressed, and he goes to a psychiatrist, and the psychiatrist prescribes this experimental psych drug, and tells him it's experimental, and the guy's like desperate, and he agrees. So he takes it, and it makes him think he's a superhero with superpowers, but he doesn't really have superpowers.
Awesome.
Because he's really into comic books, so it's just kind of like that's what he goes with. And he ends up like making this superhero suit that looks ridiculous. And like he actually stops some crimes. Like he happens to be in a convenience store where some guy's pulling out he's like, that guy's going to rob the place. And then the guy pulls out a gun and this guy just tackles him. But then he starts just tackling people who aren't about to steal anything.
Like his fake Spidey sense tells him that this person is about to commit a crime, but they're not. Nice.
So that's Special with Michael Rapaport.
Okay.
I highly recommend this movie called DMT, the spirit molecule.
I saw that in the notes. I so wanted to see that.
It's on YouTube.
So DMT is that it's on YouTube, the whole thing?
Yeah, it's narrated by Joe Rogan, but it's got a lot of scientists in it. DMT is a really interesting psychedelic. I've never done it. It's been around since the 60s. It's chemically related to mescaline and psilocybin, whatever the active ingredient in psilocybin is. But it's very short acting and very intense. It's, like people said, like LSD is like being let out of a cage. DMT is like being shot out of a gun. It lasts like 45 minutes and it can be smoked. It doesn't have to be injected or eaten. It actually doesn't work if you eat it. But it is produced by an inordinate number of plants and animals naturally. Like when people lick toads, you know, it's something very close to DMT.
Yeah.
There's a lot of plants that contain it. A lot of natives in South America use it in religious ceremonies. It's actually produced in very small quantities by humans in their brain produces
when they're dying.
When they're dying. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, I mean, this movie basically implies that, or considers the possibility that it is a necessary function of life for our perception of reality. It's a very interesting movie. And Joe Rogan is a lab-coated scientist in it, narrating it, which is kind of funny.
Well, and Doug Stanhope has that stand-up routine about him and Joe Rogan doing DMT. So.
Yeah, he's a
Joe knows what he's talking about. From experience,
he said it was like, you know, he's lying on the floor feeling like he was dying, and then he looked over at Joe and he thought Joe was dead, and he was like, you know, I live in a one bedroom in Silver Lake, and I'm sitting in Joe's mansion in the Hollywood Hills because I got Comedy Central money and he's got that NBC money. And I was thinking, you know, if he dies, I might just live here for a while and do a kind of weekend at Bernie's thing. People call on the phone. Nah, Joe went to the store, man. Can I take a message?
Joe went to the store to get some more goat semen for his show.
To get some goat semen and DMT at the Quickie Mart. It's basically a hormone, and it's very close to the amino acid tryptophan. It's like one or two atoms different.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends podcast. Freedom Fiends is now available for 24/7 streaming to your iPhone, Android phone, or other chromed robot turd. Click on the streaming audio link on freedomfiends.com. That's FreedomFiends.com.
Yeah, I mean, well, one or two atoms or
can mean a lot.
Can make like the whole difference.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't drink hydrogen peroxide, and it's what, three hydrogen? No, it's
one different. Two hydrogen, it's one different and two than water, oxygen, and it? It's H2O2, isn't it?
Yeah, H2O2.
It's one atom different from water.
Yep.
Yep. But so my third recommendation is a movie called Cinema Verite, which came out on HBO this year or last year. It's out on DVD. I got it from Hulu or Netflix. It's about. You know, this is a phenomenon I've discussed before. This show that was on PBS in 1973, I think, called An American Family, which was the first reality TV show. Basically, PBS, a guy from PBS, who in this movie about it is played by the guy who plays Tony Soprano. And he's got a beard and he's great. And he's really an actor with a wide range. You ever seen him in other stuff?
No, not that I can recall.
James Gandolfini.
Gandolfini, yep. I've seen a couple episodes of Sopranos, but...
he's great.
I can't recall anything else I've seen
him in. Yeah, and Tim Robbins plays the Republican dad in this. And everybody else is kind of little-known actors that are really good.
Okay.
And it's,
I'm a fan of Tim Robbins. He's
I'll watch
amazing.
Anything he's in. Yeah. Did you ever see that movie... let me take a little aside here. Have we talked about that movie, Jacob's Ladder, that he's in?
Yeah, I think so.
Where he plays a Vietnam vet who is like flipping out and doesn't know why. And he goes and talks to his guys from his squad and discovers that they were all dosed with this experimental hallucinogen that was trying to be weaponized. And like, you know, they were given the drug and they all like killed each other, you know, turned on each other on their own soldier brothers and killed them.
No, I didn't see it, but yeah, and, you know, you might have talked about
40
it.
Forty
and I didn't watch it.
40 years later, he's having flashbacks that are horrifying. Oh, yeah. Oh, and in that, the drug is made by a guy. He goes and finds the guy who made that drug, and it was basically he was an LSD chemist who was busted. You know, making like millions of hits of really high quality LSD, and the government busted him, and they gave him a choice of like, you know, 40 years in prison or you come work for us. And you know, he came and worked,
deal with the devil.
Yeah, he came and worked for them, and you know, added and took away a couple atoms on the LSD molecule and came up with this horrifying weaponized hallucinogen.
Jeez. You know, I mean, is there any known weaponized hallucinogens? I'm really curious now. I feel like there's no reason why there wouldn't be.
Well, you know that
there's nothing in popular.
You know
knowledge.
That the Army and the CIA tried to use experimented with using LSD
I do know that. Yeah, MK Ultra, yeah, right?
And gave it to soldiers without their permission or knowledge, and you know, a couple of them jumped out of windows, and died.
Yeah, yeah. I did know about that. Yeah,
yeah. The government's experimented with all kinds of drugs, you know, with truth serums, with controlling the population and making them docile, which a lot of people say what the fluoride in the water is. And I don't even want to touch that, man. I don't believe it. I don't think it should be there. I mean, even the American Dental Association says it shouldn't be there. And it's supposed to be there supposedly to help kids who can't afford to go to the dentist when their teeth are growing. But it's actually like bad for your teeth. So,
well, and basically there's too much of it. Yeah. Like the rate is too much. So kids have started developing little bumps on their teeth that are fluoride deposits.
Yeah, and adults don't need it, but we're still forced through the tyranny tube that comes into our front yard. So,
well, yeah, I mean, here's the thing. Even if it is benign, what other medicine would you tolerate them putting in your drinking water?
I know,
of all
I know.
Things? I mean, how foreign of a concept is that? if you really think about it, how insane is that? Like, what if they put aspirin in all of our water so we don't have heart attacks?
Yeah.
You know, people wouldn't stand for that, I don't think. Yeah. I mean, I guess I don't know why
people
they stood by and watched people
man.
Put fluoride
you know,
in it.
People stand for everything, and they shouldn't. And
I guess that's the problem.
You know, so they should have done something long ago, and it's too late now because there's drones.
Because there's drones.
So, Cinema Verite, man. Good movie. I highly recommend it. I mean, basically, like, the original of that, you know, when that show came out, it was, and my parents did not let me watch it. I was 9. I knew about it, and my parents did not let me watch it. And the reason I'm looking back on it now, other than it was an extremely dysfunctional family, was there was an openly gay character in it. It was actually the first openly gay character on TV, and he's kind of an icon in the gay community. Wow. Lance Loud was his name. It was the Loud family was the name of the family.
Wow.
They're from Santa Barbara.
Huh.
And the son.
And this, they were real. This was
real.
Like,
it was, they, you know, they went through like 100 families and whittled it down to 5 and interviewed them and settled on one. And basically the producer chose was the one that was like, seemed the most normal on the outside and was the most dysfunctional on the inside. I mean, during the 10 episodes of this show, and they filmed it all before any of it aired. So it wasn't like, you know, they weren't reacting to it and going, oh, we're going to change our ways because people say this about us on TV. It was like they filmed the whole thing and then they had 10 one-hour episodes. And it was like the son came out as gay to his father who hated, you know, who was homophobic. The kids took LSD, and the mother divorced the father during the course of the show.
Wow. Yeah.
Conflict.
Sounds
is
like good TV.
Yeah. Conflict is the essence of drama.
Sure as hell is.
Yeah, but it's a really...
Huh. So did it have the whole template that we know now for reality? I mean, I imagine it didn't, but did they have like confessionals and interviews and did it have that whole kind of feel to it?
Yeah. I mean, it didn't have Jersey Shore feel with like modern hip hop music in it, obviously,
right.
But it was,
right. I wouldn't think that
it had
the basic format.
It had a lot of the things that, modern reality TV has. The one thing that's interesting, I don't know how much of this part is true, but in this remaking of it or revisioning of it, Cinema Verite, the camera crew that's hired are this young couple. I mean, they're like 23 and it's, you know, a guy who went to film school and his wife, and he wants to be with his wife. So she's holding the microphone all the time. You know, it's those two and then one other guy. And the film crew are really opposed to the producer's attempts to create drama and bring out drama. And even when there's real drama, like there's a scene where, you know, like the scene where the wife is at a pool party telling her husband, I'm filing for divorce from you. Or leading up to it, you know, saying you've been a disappointment, this and that, I know you're cheating. The film crew like turns off the camera and walks back to their van. And the producer's like yelling at them saying, this is the best stuff. And they're like, no, this is the worst stuff. We can't put this on the air. You know, so they have integrity, but not artistic integrity, I guess. I mean, it's like now anybody who's the film crew on a reality show, like they'd be right there along with it trying to poke it and raise the heat. But, you know.
Oh, completely. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess I guess they didn't have any competition, right? This was a new thing. It's not like they were trying to one up the other reality show on the other state-run television.
I mean, it was new in America, and it was new in television, and it was new as it is. I mean, the term cinema verite, which is the name of this film, means, you know, the cinema of life, or the cinema of real cinema, right. Which is a term that was before the 70s. I think it was in the 60s in New Wave French cinema of you know, it was a method of filming in life. Like, you didn't get permits, you didn't get a crew, you just ran out in the street and a guy chased another guy with a gun and you filmed it. I mean, that was cinema verite.
Yeah. But kind of like guerrilla shooting.
Like what?
Like shooting guerrilla style.
Yeah, just guerrilla, guerrilla shooting. Yeah. Yep.
Sweet.
Since time began, tyrants have taken aim at personal liberties. Now there's a movie that aims back.
The government has no more right to tell us what to put in our bodies than they have to take our guns or tell us what books we can read.
Six drug police were eaten by bears while raiding a marijuana farm.
On your knees, you dirty hippies! Jesus. On your knees!
What's the problem, officer?
Today, many cops who enforce pot laws do so only because it provides them with cushy jobs, good benefits, and a chance to push people around.
I was an undercover narcotics officer. The drug war is nothing but a farce.
The Second Amendment says you gotta keep you and your gat intact.
Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. A film by Michael W. Dean and Nima Vadavi.
DVD available now at gunsandweed.com or on Amazon. That's gunsandweed.com. Makes the perfect gift. Remember, that's gunsandweed.com.
So, yeah, you were saying this is going pretty quick and seamless for somebody who doesn't have internet and doesn't know what the hell's going on in the world. And I was kind of wondering, you know, is there anything
what's going on in the world?
Yeah. What am I missing? I really haven't been up for checking the headlines or...
Honestly, I haven't either. I mean, I'm on the internet constantly. I've been watching a lot of movies, like I said. But another thing is I've been really... We talked a couple months ago about getting away from politics. I've really been doing that. The latest Anarchy Gumbo, this is an interview with Nikki Darling, and a lot of people are saying it's the best one ever, partly because it's a hot chick talking about porn and silver. But, you know, basically we didn't talk about politics much, and I think that's part of why it's great.
Yeah.
Let's see. Okay. Gun. Here's a good headline. As murder rate climbs, Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel makes values appeal. So, you know, this place you can't have guns. The murder rate is climbing, and the mayor is appealing to the values of murderers.
Apparently, yeah. Shouldn't you appeal to the values of freedom and let people defend them fucking selves?
I don't know. Rahm Emanuel talking to murderers sounds like, you know, speaking to his crowd. I mean, I don't know. Is that true? How did Rahm Emanuel ever murder anybody? I don't know. Probably did. He's from the government.
Well, I mean, he was Obama's chief of staff, and Obama murdered a bunch of people, so he's at least an accessory, right?
Yeah, I was having this argument with this guy the other day from this band Government Issue, a punk band I used to watch in D.C. He was kind of like... One of the guys in the band, I think it was Mike Dolphy, was like taking me to, or was it Black Market Baby? I forget, one of them. But Mike Dolphy was like taking me to task for having a picture of me with a gun. Like, wow, I didn't really know you back then, but I knew who you were, and I'm seeing now you're really into guns. That's kind of weird. And I'm like, didn't you play in a band that had a song called Gunpoint Affection that was about the joys of raping a woman at gunpoint?
Wow, and did they like, really?
They really did. Ugh. And it was a popular song. And it was, you know, tongue in cheek, but okay. It was like from the viewpoint of the rapist.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, I don't think that's moral, and I'd never do that. My guns are moral, but you're singing songs about doing stuff that's immoral. And he's like, I didn't write that song, I just played on it. And I'm like, that's kind of like being the chief of staff to the president. That's out, you know, it really is. I think if you're in a band and you strongly disagree with a lot of the lyrics or any of the lyrics, you should quit the band.
Yep,
I really do. Because I think even though you're not singing it, you're in the band.
That's why I quit the news, right? I mean,
yeah.
if you don't agree with the final product of what you're working towards, you know, what your job is, unless you really need the money and are that desperate, I mean, even
you
then.
You still shouldn't do it.
I mean, that's selling out, right? That's the definition of selling out.
And I was going to say, and you didn't even write the songs. You were just reading the words they put in front of you. And then I'm like, no, wait, you had to write those words too. On the news.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, I wrote them, and then they went and took out any kinds of love of liberty and in insert statism here kind of thing.
They ran it through the state bot 3000.
The state bot 3000. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah. I have a good name for what we are. You know, we're constantly struggling for that.
You won't like it by the next cast, though. You'll be like, I'm over that.
Well, I'm still going. I'm going with anarcho-capitalist these days. You know, I'll say I'm an anarchist, but I will specify that I'm an anarcho-capitalist, which, again, has a problem because to most people, that just sounds like two really bad things.
Yeah.
But I was reading the Wikipedia article on voluntarism. And the movement of voluntarism actually goes back to like the 1800s of people who wanted separation of church and state. It was religious people who didn't want the state telling them what to do. You know, they wanted their religion telling them what to do, but that is voluntary. It's like, No, I don't want your government imposed on me. I want to go impose my own government on myself, which I'm fine with.
As long as it's voluntary, right?
There was a name for them in the 1800s. It was a self-description. They called themselves no government men.
Okay.
I really like that.
It's not catchy, but it's to the point. It's blunt, not the most subtle, but fair enough.
I think it's catchy too. I mean, it's not inclusive.
No,
it's not inclusive. It's not inclusive of women, but it's funny as no government. We're the no government men. Yeah.
All right.
I like it.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I like just saying anarchist. It's really growing on
me. You just like pissing people off.
I don't like pissing people off, but I like being like, there it is. Now, what are you going
to
say?
You like poking people.
I like poking people. Yeah. That's my thing. It's one of my things.
Yeah.
Of course, I don't go out there and like preach on a street corner. I don't bring it up unless somebody asks or it comes up.
I don't know. I've been poking people a lot longer than you. I guess I get weary of getting poked back. I mean, when I was 11, I got in trouble at my school because I had like Xeroxed stuff from Steal This Book by Abby Hoffman and anonymously made a one-page newsletter about overthrowing the school and left copies of it all over the school, and they figured out it was me.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
You're an OG, Michael.
Did we talk about that status, the guy I wanted to nominate for status of the year who wrote the CNN article called Don't Be Nosy About Fast and Furious?
No, we didn't, but I had wanted to.
I sent it to Claire Wolf, and she posted it. It was while you were gone, and I was like, okay, Someone needs to point this out, so I sent it to Claire. But it's pretty awesome. It's pretty awesomely horrible. It's basically, it's that dude who's an Obama humper, avowed communist, the black dude with dreadlocks who's like, you always see his picture on the byline on CNN. His name is LZ Granderson, and he did an article called Don't Be Nosy About Fast and Furious.
Yeah, what the hell is that? And I read a little bit of it, and there was really no argument whatsoever. I mean, he basically boiled down to, why don't you back off and give the government a little privacy? You know, sometimes they just get their hands dirty, and that's okay. Let them get their hands dirty.
I know.
What right do they have to do that? I mean, by what authority? I mean, it's just silliness. I don't understand. Did you read any of the comments? Because I didn't read any of the comments. Were there people that were like, yeah, we should back off?
It's like usual, man. It's about 50-50. It's about 50. Comments on CNN are about 50% uber statists and about 50% somewhere between minarchist and anarchist.
Yeah, yeah.
At least constitutionalist to anarchist.
Okay.
Which, you know, I'm always on the side of, I'll always take the side of the constitutionalists over the statists because, first of all, the constitutionalists are going to end up as anarchists if they listen to us anyway.
Yeah, I guess that's what I was going to say, too, is they may be on a path towards anarchy if they're leaning in that general direction, hopefully.
And the same thing with soldiers. You know, I have a problem bashing soldiers right now because my kid is one now. But also, like I saw this site called some friend of mine on Facebook. I don't know really who it was, but somebody started a page on July, right before July 4th, called like the soldiers are welfare queens or something like that, which I can see the point of. But it's like, first of all, soldiers, a lot of them, especially when they're done with the army, and become the most dove-like people they are. I mean, they become the anti-war people. A lot of them do these days because they've seen it and they've been there and they've been shot at. Yeah. They are the ones, a lot of recovering soldiers are the ones who are like, man, we need to get the hell out of there. You know?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
A lot of anarchists are like, no, we need to abolish the state and the army completely and the military completely. And it's like, I would be really happy tomorrow if there was still a military, but if they just pulled it out of the Middle East. I'd be really happy, you know? Wouldn't you?
I'd be happier than I am now. I wouldn't be satisfied, I guess.
Right. I wouldn't be satisfied, but it's like, you know, we can talk all the, and I'm not being a minarchist. I'm being a realist. And I'm saying, like, wouldn't you like to get us, the U.S., out of killing brown babies over
yes.
there? Wouldn't you like
I
that?
Would. I would.
Yeah. Yeah. And soldiers are the people pushing for that a lot.
Yeah.
And also, soldiers are also the people that might be the line of defense between you and some blue-helmeted dragoon that's going to drag you to a FEMA camp, you know? There are oath keepers. I don't like to insult soldiers as a collective individual like that because I feel there's so much potential for liberty there.
Well, I suppose it goes back to, we don't want to be guilty of the same kind of collective thinking that the statists do. So saying something like all soldiers are evil, that's collectivizing them, right? We should be fighting the state.
I'd say the military industrial complex is a welfare program. I'd say that.
Yeah, you could say the system is definitely a welfare program, and you could say the military is a welfare program too. But I guess
it's a welfare program for rich people. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, for lots of people, I think, I mean, yeah, they're working, but there are people who are in the military. They're getting paid from the government. I mean, all of their money comes from taxes.
Yeah.
Just like somebody who lives solely on welfare, right?
There's some protest about July 4th that I saw that would be considered equally heinous to a lot of good Americans that I stand by a lot more. Oh, of course you didn't see it. Eddie Free's video of him screaming at the White House on July 4th in front of a bunch of tourists.
No, that sounds awesome, though.
Yeah, Eddie Free had some friend of his filming, and it shows him, like, it's really well done. I'm gonna link it. It's like, it's him leaving his house, getting in his car, driving to the White House, getting out, walking up to the White House, and screaming through it, through the fence at the White House.
Nice.
And a bunch of tourists and cops standing around and going like, what the fuck? and he's like, I declare my independence from your statism and tyranny. And he's using the F word a lot. And it's really bold. And the cops, the DC Metro cops there followed him for a couple blocks on their bicycles and then left him alone. And he got back in his car and drove away. It is awesome.
Yeah, I'll definitely have to check that out. I also finally, for the first time in a month, I opened up the Fiends calendar and noticed what it said on Independence Day.
What's it say?
Independence Day. People fed up with government decide to... it says Independence Day. People fed up with the government decide the solution is a government.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Worms. So I had a thought about gay marriage. I don't know if I've mentioned this before, but
thought about what?
Gay marriage.
Ah. Okay.
To anyone who clamors for government-sanctioned gay marriage, aside from things like rights of visitation while sick, inheritance, etc., which can all be taken care of with inexpensive to prepare boilerplate legal documents today, the thing I've heard many gays say is that they want recognition. Well, that recognition would be at the point of a government gun, which isn't going to change the hearts and minds of bigots who hate gays.
Yeah.
It would also not be true recognition. A forced amends is no amends at all. A true amends has to come from the heart, not the barrel of a gun. You can't legislate someone into liking you.
No, you can't at all. I mean, that is completely anti-freedom of association, freedom of thought, even. And it's like you were saying, I don't want to bring up the Mark Stevens beef, but, you know, he was trying to get more of an apology out of you than you wanted to give. And even if you gave him that apology, if you said, okay, fine, Mark, I'm sorry for this, 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 and this, all those things you want me to be sorry for, it wouldn't be a real apology. You wouldn't feel that way in your heart.
I wasn't going to bring that up, but since he did, yeah, he was focusing on the need for more of an apology for me. He didn't accept my heartfelt apology because it was limited. It was like, you know, I'm not going to apologize for the original letter. I stand by it, and I want to discuss the terms of it. And, you know, he wanted to avoid that and divert. You know, it's that old argument, like Bill O'Reilly kind of thing, to like, no, you know, and he wanted me to apologize to him more. And I'm like, that ain't going to happen, man. You know, I apologized for being really snitty on his blog in the comments. I was horrible to him.
Yeah, yeah.
But,
well, we don't have to really get into all of it. I'm just saying that it's the same thing with the gay marriage. I think that's the point you're trying to make is that recognition
back to Mark Stevens,
isn't real
back
recognition.
To Mark Stevens, back to Mark Stevens.
Okay.
The other thing that people should go listen to the two Ben Quaker podcasts on it. He's great about it. He pointed out some things that I didn't even really get time to go into. One is that he also focused on why didn't you contact me? Why did you do an open letter? And Ben's like, you're a public person. People can address you in public. It's like a book review. Like when someone slams someone in a New York Times book review before they write it, do they write the author and say, well, I'm going to slam you. I want to give you reasons to argue with me and tell me not to, you know?
No.
It's a public person and I'm responding publicly. Yeah. I stand by that too.
Okay.
And Ben said that Mark needs to grow up, quit acting like a baby and get some thick skin if he's going to be a public person doing stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I would definitely agree with that. In general, for all of us out there, if you put yourself out there in the world, if you give away your media for free on the internet, or if you sell your media in some other forum, get used to people commenting. I mean, I had a hater when I worked at K2 TV in Wyoming, and it bugged me, but I mean, I didn't want to call him out. I didn't want to debate him on the air just because he disagreed with me.
I know. I know.
You know, I got over it. I wrote him an email saying, dude, you're wrong. And I addressed his points, but I didn't make a big hullabaloo about it.
And we've had haters. I mean, I read one today from Reddit of someone who called us a cult because we used a word that was unfamiliar to him.
Because he didn't know fiends.
And we called him an old person and moved on, man.
Yeah, yeah. We said FU statist. Well, I guess he's not a statist. Yeah. But
so back to the gay marriage thing. I am glad that it's no longer illegal to have butt sex.
Ah, yeah, yeah. I guess that's
the one good thing that's come out of the gay rights thing. But, you know, yeah. I mean, someone in Texas was prosecuted like 12 years ago, and then they took it to the Supreme Court.
Yep. Yeah, we've mentioned that on the cast before. And the other thing is I like the drug war tie-in, too. Because didn't the officer smell pot, and that's what caused him to investigate?
Yeah, that's why they entered the house, because they smelled pot through an open window. Yeah.
What status. All the freedoms are connected, people. Just let everybody be free. Quit hating on anybody for anything. Do what you do and let other people do the same.
So Colton Raymond wrote us, one of the fiends wrote us. When I say we're the fiends with a capital F, the fans are fiends with a small F. So one of the fiends, I haven't clarified that, I don't know. Colton Raymond, a fiend, wrote and said, why is it y'all are so disgusted with Texas? Every time it's mentioned, Michael goes, ugh. And Nima, for some reason, thinks that Utah, Arizona, and the West Mountain states are less tyrannical. I grew up in Fort Worth, moved to Portland, Oregon. Now I'm in Austin. There's plenty I hate about Texas. And it goes on. And it's like, you know, I don't hate Texas. I hate the police in Texas. Yeah. I hate the statism in Texas. I love Texas, man.
Yeah.
I spent a lot of time there.
Yeah, I'm the same way. And we did address that a little bit. And I did email him back and let him know what my personal beef was, which is the Texas cops have personally harassed me on several occasions and have extracted tons of money from me. And so I'm kind of gun shy, for lack of a better word, to be in Texas. You know, I've been trying to follow the nanny laws as much as I can, and it's really annoying. Whereas I feel like in some of the other mountain states, you know, I'm a traveler. I can probably just take the ticket and move on. I don't have to worry about getting thrown in a cage because of some warrant I didn't pay because I don't remember it because they didn't send it to me. All sorts of personal stuff like that. But I love Texas. I just, the police here don't love me.
Yeah. So I have a follow-up on something we talked about a long time ago. I talked about how in Europe, a lot of places I visited, there's signs in the bathroom that tell men to sit down when they pee.
What?
And even in people's homes. And I was in someone's home, and they told me that. And I'm like, no, man, I'm an American. I stand up when I pee. And I said it to him just like that, just to kind of be a jackass.
Wow.
Yeah.
Peeing standing up.
What's that? Pee standing up.
So don't, yeah. Not peeing standing up. Peeing like a girl. Or I could say bitch on that, right? Because girl dogs pee like.
So, I also have another movie recommendation. It's 6 Degrees of Helter Skelter. It's hilarious. Watch it. So it's not supposed to be hilarious, but it's pretty good. Anyway, so.
Okay. Back to piss.
So here's this article on the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation's website. Stop stand-up urination for men, Swedish politicians urge.
Wow. A Swedish So literally politicians are telling you how to defecate and urinate now. I guess how to urinate.
It's a socialist and feminist party in Sweden called Vänsterpartiet. Believes that seated urination is healthier for men and more hygienic for both sexes. Improved bladder evacuation. So like basically they're saying for this health reason, they're going to feminize all men and by law make them sit down to pee.
Wow. That's gay.
Yeah. That's really gay, man. That really makes me just want to eat a cheeseburger and fire off guns while peeing standing up on their, you know, offices.
Seriously. I have an uncle who used to try to get me to pee sitting down because he didn't want me to pee on
his
seat.
Did he make you wear a dress too and dance around while he clapped to entertain him?
No, he's actually probably my most masculine of my uncles on my father's side. Like, he's got a blue collar job.
I'm gonna make
his name is Mahmood, but he has all his blue collar coworkers call him Mac.
I'm gonna make a man out of you, boy.
He's big. He's got lots of back hair, but he doesn't want people peeing on his seat. So I guess I could see that. And if it's in his house, okay, right? So private property. If I go into your house, you tell me please don't pee.
You know
on
what
my
though?
Seat.
I almost feel like. Fine. While your house is private property, I feel like when someone goes in the bathroom and shuts the door, they kind of have their own autonomous zone and shouldn't be told what to do.
Yeah, there might be something to that. I mean, yeah, I guess.
I think that's
when you sit on the toilet or when you use the toilet, it becomes your own. You've homesteaded it, right?
You've homesteaded it so you can pee all over it. But okay, I think it's a good place to end in the thought that, you know, what European socialism.
What you pee on, you've homesteaded. Yeah,
and what European type socialism, which is what people trying to, from both parties, are trying to put here in different ways, what it leads to is the law telling you how to pee.
There you go.
Worms.
Peas. I was sure. Pea. There you go.
Worm.
Hello, freedom fiends. It's your boy Dean from the U.S. Get the U.S. out my bloodstream. I own me and that includes endorphins. No one won't ask permission and I won't say please. Freedom fans, one fact that I gotta make clear.
The Freedom Fiends podcast is covered by a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license. Do what you want with it and spread it around. Tell two friends. Make copies. Email it to everyone you know. Go on the site and comment. This is a conversation. Every week, we'll have an exciting new episode where Michael W. Dean and Nima Vadadi weave their own unique take on the way the world works and how to find your place in it. Available from freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
Freedom Fiends is proudly syndicated by Alterati.com and the Liberty Radio Network at LRN.FM.
Subscribe and tell two friends.
And remember, the only power they have is the power you allow them.